he say leave here change or don't leave here with any change? Amen. So I'll leave here changed. Okay. I appreciate being here with you today. Of course, I've known your preacher for a number of years and have prayed for him and his wife. And anybody from Maine has just got my prayers, and now he's down here trying to be a blessing to God's people. We appreciate that. You notice on our presentation there, I did not mention our 14-year-old daughter. That's Kimberly. We have four grown children, and she's the caboose. And so I can see light at the end of the tunnel. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then the dog is a dog named Miracle. She's out there in the trailer. She's an Alaskan puppy. So we just appreciate her. She travels with us everywhere we go. And she is a blessing as well. But maybe you'll get to meet her sometime. Open your Bibles today, if you would, Pete, please, to Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14. Excuse me, this morning. Again, let me remind you, go back, buy and get a prayer card. You're going to hate yourself if you don't. I'll probably hate you for a while. So Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14, if you would. And I don't know how you do it. I'm just a man of habit. I like to stand when we read the Word of God. If nothing else, it's the seventh inning stretch. Amen. And so gives you a chance to get the blood flow for a little while before I preach for an hour and a half. I may be the only one left, but I'll preach for an hour and a half. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14. And if we could, because it is just the one verse, let's read it all together, shall we? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to concentrate on that word redemption today. Amen. And I want to preach on it for a little while. Let's look to the Lord for just a moment, shall we? Heavenly Father, I need your help this day. These are great, great saints, and they need all that a man of God can give them. And I need the filling and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you would settle on this place today, that God, it would be different. Father, it would be special. Lord, just speak to our hearts. I'm going to ask that you would help us to dismiss all the things that will vie for our attention for the next 30, 40 minutes. God, all the things we like to think about on a Sunday afternoon and what happened yesterday and what will happen tomorrow, Lord, let's just forget it for a little while. Father, you have told us that if we draw nigh to you, that you will draw nigh to us. And so, Father, let us do that for a little while. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated here this morning. Now, redemption is the story of blood, and blood is the story of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, God spoke. He said, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, you don't skin an animal without some blood being shed. Amen. Now, Adam and Eve had come up with a man-made religion. They had formed fig leaf together to cover themselves. And Jesus, in the book of Matthew, when he saw a fig tree, he cursed it, because I believe that that fig tree reminded him of man's efforts to cover his sins as opposed to God's method of covering our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, God gave instructions to Adam. Adam gave instructions to his offspring, and it's good that you bring your children to the house of the Lord. I'm glad that there are parents in my church that just turned over that bring their children to the house of the Lord and don't just send them to God's house. But it says in Genesis 4, it says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Again, you do not get, and this isn't an anatomy class, but you don't get the fat of a lamb without shedding of blood. You don't get the coat of an animal without the shedding of blood. You need to kill an animal. There needs to be blood shed. In the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22, Abraham said to Isaac, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And you know the story. There was a ram that was caught in the thickets. Abraham took that ram, slew it, laid it upon an altar, consumed it by fire. Again, there was the shedding of blood. The fullest Old Testament picture of redemption through the shedding of blood is the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt following the night of the Passover. And Egypt is always a type or a picture of the world. It is a picture of sin. It's always cast in a negative light in the Bible. Egypt looked inviting to Jacob, and I'm sure if he had considered it, he wouldn't have gone that direction, but he was there for 400 years, his descendants after him. But sin will always keep you longer than you want to stay. You may want to put that down. And it always costs you more than you want to pay. Just ask anybody that smokes. Amen. God initiated the Passover where they would take an innocent lamb and keep it for up to 2 weeks and then sacrifice it on the night of the Passover. And when the blood was applied, the death angel passed over and the firstborn was spared. But again, it's the story of blood. It's the story of a sacrifice. When John saw Jesus the first time, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Samuel, God killed 50,070 men of Beth-Shemesh because they had looked inside the ark of the Lord. Now you say they were being sacrilegious, perhaps. They were being irreverent, perhaps. They were showing disrespect to God Jehovah, perhaps. But what you may not understand is that the cover of the ark contained the mercy seat. It was not necessarily lifting the mercy seat off the ark to look inside that caused their death. What it was that the blood was applied to the mercy seat. And when they lifted the blood that was on the mercy seat off the law of God, all of a sudden death reigned again. We have a bloody book. We have a bloody religion. It's the story of redemption. And by the way, in Egypt, when they applied the blood, anybody could apply it. The Egyptians could apply it. And I think some of them did because there was a mixed multitude that left with the children of Israel. You see, I believe that in an unlimited atonement, I believe anybody can be saved. I don't believe all will be saved, but I believe all can be saved if they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our Bible, if you have a King James Bible, if you don't, see me after the service, we'll help you with that. But in our Bible, there are 788,258 words. Say, how do you know that? I stayed up late one night. One, two, three. No, there's 788,258 words in our Bible. There's 8,674 Hebrew words in the Old Testament. There are 5,624 Greek words in the New Testament. There are 12,143 English words. Now, put your thinking cap on for just a second. Between the combination or the sum of the Hebrew and the Greek words, that equals 14,298. You still with me? Now, if you don't pull your phone out, just trust me on this, all right? But 8,674 and 5,624 equals 14,298. There's 12,143 English words. That means that there's more Greek and Hebrew words used than there are English words. Now, if you subtract 12,143, you have a difference of 2,155. Stay with me. That means some English words are used more than once. Can you think that far ahead, okay? If there's a difference of 2,155 words, that means some English words are used more than once, and some of them in multiple times. That means they may be used twice or three times. For an example, I love my truck. I have a 2002 GMC out there. If you want to buy me a new Ford, go ahead, all right? But I love my truck. I love my wife. Now, wait a minute. I use the word love in two different settings. If I say I love my truck the same way I love my wife, I'm in trouble after service, amen? I may be in trouble before the service is out. So there's a multiplicity of uses for that one word, love. For an example, when in John chapter 21, when Jesus was addressing Peter, he says, Peter, lovest thou me? Jesus was using the word agape, a sacrificial, all-out type of love. Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. Now, in our English Bible, it's the word love and the word love, but Peter was using the word phileo, or a brotherly type of love. You understand? So sometimes in our Bible, there's a multiplicity of uses, or a more than one use for the type of the word love. Now, that's all background, okay? That's all introduction. But I need a volunteer from the audience here today. Let me see if I can find something. And I'm not going to pick on you. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to beat you up, especially if you're bigger than I am, amen? But I need somebody here today that can help me. All right. This is, I know you're a senior. Brian, okay. All right. Now, Brian, what I need you to do this morning is I need you to stand right back there by those back doors for just a second, okay? Can you do that? Can you help me, Brian? Brother, you pick your own path, all right? You know, you wasn't here for Sunday school, so you pick your own path, all right? But I just... Now, what I want us to do, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9. Now, don't go out the door, Brian, just... All right. I saw a big grin on his face. It's like, wow, I'm getting out of this one on the sly. In Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, I want us to look and examine this word redemption here this morning. It's kind of a Bible study, but it's preaching too, so we'll get it all in here today. In Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9, I want you to notice with me, please. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, it's the English word redeemed, but it's also the word agareso. Now, agareso in our Bible means to buy in the marketplace. And I'm going to develop this as you go along, so you're going to have to stay with me. Some of you are already on the doze, all right? Now, I throw hymn books. I don't know what your preacher does, but if I catch you dozing, I throw hymn books. Now some of you are looking up. And I can say at 55 years of age, my aim is not as good as it used to be. So if I saw somebody sitting beside me that was dozing, I'd poke them. Amen? Because, brother, you might be the one catching that hymn book, all right? But that's just what I use. Your preacher may throw pulpits. I don't know what he does. But the word redeemed in Revelation 5:9, agareso, means to buy in the marketplace. Now, what that means is it's a picture of buying a slave off the auction block in the marketplace. Now, you have to understand, in Romans times, there was slavery. As bad as all of that was, it was slavery. And so here's Brian Sr. back there, and he's a slave. Jesus, in Revelation 5:9, is saying that we was redeemed out of every kindred, every tribe, on the face of the earth. God saves people red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. God saves them in Maine. He saves them in Massachusetts. He saves them in America. He saves them in China. He saves the black man, the yellow man, the red man. It is made no difference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Non-discriminate. He saves everybody, anywhere, right where they are. In the marketplace. So we was redeemed, like Brian Sr., in the marketplace. Romans tells us, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We were all sold under sin. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. We all serve sin. Now, don't get, now I noticed some of you drove in today and you hung your halo on the rearview mirror. I understand that, all right? But for the rest of us, we know that we were sold under sin, and for some of us, we served sin to greater or lesser degrees. You're a sinner by birth, and then later you become a sinner by choice. And with that choice, you became a slave to the master called sin. And sin may not have taken you, you know, far, but it took you far enough. Amen. And we were saved in the marketplace. You ever buy a car as is, where is? I don't know what the Massachusetts laws are here, but I know up in Maine you can buy a car, and that's C-A-R. But you can buy a car for as is, where is. That means there's no liabilities. It's a taillight guarantee. As soon as your taillights are gone, the guarantee's off. Amen. And so, but you can buy a car as is, where is. When Jesus saved you, if you're saved here this morning, he bought you as you was, where you was, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The word redemption means to buy in the marketplace, just like we are. Some people in life feel like they have to improve their lives before they get saved. That's not true. If you're a drug addict, you get saved as a drug addict. If you're immoral, you get saved while you're immoral. If you're backslidden, you know, you're as far as your conduct in the world, you get saved just as you are where you are. There's no reformation. We believe in regeneration. And so the first word, redeem, is agareso. It means to buy in the marketplace. Brian, you're doing a great job. Amen. You're doing, you just, if I had somebody to use, you'd be the man. All right. He's doing a great job. Now, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. You with me now? I have you turn to different passages in the Bible because that keeps you awake. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and it works. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Now, it shouldn't take you that long to get there, right? This, you know, this is a Baptist church. Come on. Galatians chapter, I see some of the dust flying. But I mean, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. All right. Here we have the word, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Here's our English word, redeemed again. The only difference now is it's not agareso, it is ex agareso. So it doesn't mean purchase in the marketplace, it means to bring out of the marketplace. Ex, ex means out. So it means he bought us out of the marketplace. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Look at Galatians 4, 5. I'm just going to throw this in real quick. To redeem them, there's our word again, same word. That we were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He brought us out of the marketplace so we could be adopted. Woohoo! Man. And I don't mean adopted as in there is a lesser degree of father-son relationship. The word adopted in our Bible means with all the same legal standing as the Son of God himself. Whoa! Everything Christ has, I have. Because I've been adopted as his son. Now, Brian, here's your big moment. This is redeemed ex agareso. Brian, you come down here now. You're no longer in the marketplace. And by the way, when God saved you, he saved you from your sins. Not to leave you in your sins. Right there, Brian. You're doing a great job. If a drowning man is drowning and you throw him a life raft and you still a life preserver and he still drowns, you didn't save him, he drowned. When God sent the blood of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, he saved us out of those deep waters. Ex agareso. You know, you would not leave your slave in the marketplace. If you were to purchase a slave, you would not certainly leave your adopted son in the marketplace. You'd bring him home, amen? My sister and brother-in-law have adopted four special needs children. And they're in the standing right now of adopting two more children from Russia. I mean, I think they're nuts. You know, they just, as soon as one leaves the nest, they adopt two more. It's like, you know, you're not good in math, are you? I mean, that's just not working. But that's where they are. They adopt special needs children. In Matthew 1, it says, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Romans chapter 6, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sins and become servants to God. Now, agaleso is the emphasis is redeeming somebody in the marketplace. Same English word, different phases, different uses of it, okay? We understand that now. Just go like this, okay? I'll hear it rattle. But ex agaleso means to save out of the marketplace. Now, redemption has to do with our with blood. Regeneration has to do with a new birth. Here's another word. Repentance has to do with a changed behavior. For an example, I have a man in my church. Well, and you have to excuse me. I've been saying my church for 20 years. It ain't going to change overnight, all right? I have a man in my church, Eric Lehman. Eric Lehman, when I first met him, probably about 12, 13 years ago, you would drive down the dirt road, Plummer Hill Road, and you'd swing off to the right up towards Liberty, and then they're called the Cry Hill Road, and all it is a glorified logging road. I kid you not. It's just an old abandoned county road. But you drive all the way up in Cry Hill Road, and up there on the side of the mountain was Eric Lehman's house. No electricity, no indoor plumbing. I mean, just rustic, you know, as rustic can be. That's the first time I met him. You walk in there, it looked like a man cave. Now, some of you understand what I'm saying. There's a mounted wood duck on the wall. Over here, there's a couple of deer antlers on this wall here. There's a couple of shotguns laid up here against the wall over here. And in Maine, you can still have guns. But, I mean, I'd move if I was you. But, I mean, you can have firearms. And here was a handgun laying on the counter, and dishes were piled up around the sink. It was a man cave. He was a bachelor. You know, brother, it was his own domain. Now, Eric Lehman, for whatever reason, decided to marry a lady in the church. He got married, this is probably about 6 years ago now, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He got married. That man cave is gone. There's curtains on the windows. The wood duck flew away. The antlers have gone somewhere. The guns are in a gun cabinet. The kitchen sink is clean. They've got indoor plumbing. And I think that's here to stay, by the way. He married a woman. And by the way, that should be your only choice. Amen.
Amen.
That's a different sermon. But I mean, that should be your only choice. Anyway, it changed because a woman moved in. Now listen to me. If somebody gets saved, I mean truly born again, and they repent and ask Christ to save them, and the God of heaven moves into their heart, brother, there ought to be a change somewhere to verify it. If a woman moving into a man cave can cause the wood duck to fly away and the antlers to disappear and the guns to be put up and the dishes to be cleaned, hey, if the God of heaven can move into a human heart, there has got to be a change. I know that flies in the face of some theology today, but let it fly. Brother, don't tell me that a woman can change a man's life more than the God of heaven can change a man's life. Agareso. Ex agareso. Doing great job, Brian. We're about halfway done. Unless somebody ticks me off, and then I'll just start over again. So, most hour and a half sermons are the same sermon preached twice. Let's just be honest, all right? You got 45 minutes. Somebody said, made the preacher mad, and he just preached the same thing over again. Just Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Look, I've been in this man's army for a long time. I know how the game's played. Chapter 2, verse 14. Agarizo, ex agarizo. Just multiple uses of that English word, redeemed, different. You ever have, what's those things you put up to the light and you turn it like this and you see different things? Is it kaleidoscope? All right. And you just see different lights, different images, different. That's all I'm doing here today, okay? I'm just trying to help you. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, it's not agareso. It's not ex agareso. It's lutron. You don't have to go home and memorize all this stuff, all right? I mean, you know, don't be an egghead. But I mean, sometimes it helps to understand some of these different colorings of the word. Lutron now means to set free with no strings attached. Brian, you're free.
Amen.
He did a great job, by the way, didn't he?
Good job.
I mean, if there's a Hollywood acting company around, I'd sign him up. I mean, he did a great job. The Bible says, if the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Yes, sir. It's good.
No strings attached.
That's right.
Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Now hurry, because I don't have a lot of time. You say, but you haven't even got started yet. Yeah, but I feel hunger pains coming on. You had to get up an hour earlier, so we're off the mark a little bit. Hurry, boys and girls. The Lord's coming back. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, notice me verse number 12. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man, I'm just going to read it, you catch up, or a Hebrew woman be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy wine press, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing this day. Verse 16 kind of turns a corner. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee in thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Now, when the Lord, ex agareso, brought you out of the marketplace, he set you free. You don't have to work to keep your redemption. You don't have to work to keep your salvation. I understand this is an ex-Catholic church. The Catholics that I have known have to keep working at their salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not according to the Bible. You do not keep yourself saved. You do not keep yourself redeemed. You don't keep working at your salvation, comma. You ought to work out your salvation, amen. I work because I love the Lord. I've been set free. Now, if I go out into sin today, one thing I got to understand right off the bat, my wife has two pens, a rolling pin and a firing pin, all right? Now, those two pens keep me very close in line. But if I was to go out into immorality and I was to go out into sin, I would still be just as saved as if I was standing here behind this pulpit. Jesus has set me free, lutron, no strings attached. But wait a minute, I serve him because he did set me free. You see, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I can go out and live any wicked way I want to. Thing is, I don't want to. I want to serve Christ. I have that liberty. I'm going to serve him because I've been redeemed, lutron. He set me free. Now, if he said, you have, you know, Brian was down here, and I took Brian by the, and I'm glad he's sitting down now. But if I took Brian by the shirt and I said, "What are you going to serve me? Look what I did. I saved you in the marketplace. I redeemed you out of the marketplace. You're going to serve me." Now, he might. But it'd be out of duty. It wouldn't be out of love. And I doubt if he would, because he's bigger than I am anyways. But God doesn't treat his children like that. If you're serving God, you ought to do it because you love him. If you're here this morning, you ought to do it because you love him. Well, if I don't go to church, Sister So-and-so is going to run her tongue and say that I missed church this morning. You ought to be in church because you love God. You be in church tonight because you love God. And church on Wednesday night because you love God. Every time the church doors open, I'm here because I love God. I've been doing it all my life. I haven't loved him enough yet. It's a privilege. Oh, I have to go to church. No, you get to go to church. Oh, I have to give today. No, you get to give today. Oh, I have to go soul winning. No, you get to go soul winning. Oh, I have to sing. No, you get to sing. Brother, it's a privilege to serve God. I love him. Man, I love him. I have liberty to do that. It's free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Now, one other place. This is the last point. I know some of you wish I started with this, but in Romans chapter 8, one more place. Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. I think it's the last point. Some of you look like you've been with me, so. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Now, we've dealt with agareso, we've dealt with exagareso, we've dealt with lutron. Romans 8:23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." That word redemption there is apolutron. What that means is completely removed from any marketplace. Don't you wish the Lord would come back? That's what he's talking about. We believe in the rapture. It can happen at any time, any moment. You know, you missed it. It didn't happen before the offering, so you had to give. But, I mean, it could happen. It's imminent, amen? It could happen any time, any place, any moment. That's what we believe in. Brother, I don't know about you, but I'm groaning for that. When I look around and see the sickness of this world and the depravity of this world and immorality, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit tired of it. Brother, I've been battling the devil for 32 years, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit tired of it. Now, I'm tired in the battle, but I'm not tired of the battle. That's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, when he talks about groaning within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Brother, one of these days, there's going to be a great getting up morning. One of these days, those who have died in the Lord first are going to be resurrected out of that grave. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. Brother, I'm hoping that day is today. I'm just saying. That's what apolutron. Brother, we don't have to worry about any marketplace anymore. We don't have to worry about any slavery anymore. We don't have to worry about any sin anymore. Brother, we've been redeemed. Amen. Out of this place. Can't wait. It says, "In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now, he bought you in that marketplace. Amen. And if I was to ask you here today, if I was to go out and get in your car, if you could take me to the exact spot that Jesus Christ redeemed you, could you do it? I'm not saying we have to cross oceans, we'll get a plane, but I'm just saying this morning, in your mind, could you say, "Brother Barnes, if you get in the car here today, I can take you to a place where I was redeemed. I was agareso. I was bought in the marketplace, and I don't need to hear the story. I don't need to hear the background. I don't need to hear the testimony, but I just need to know this morning, could you tell me where the auction block was, where you got saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you do that?" Preacher, I can't do that. You might be here this day and you say, Preacher, I don't know if I've ever been saved. I don't know if I've ever been out of that marketplace. There may be some here today, you say, well, I prayed a prayer, but nothing ever changed in my life. Been there. Been there. I'm just saying, have you ever gotten out of the marketplace? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. That story of the man cave preacher where everything changed. And I'm not saying it changes something like that. You know, it may have in your life. I don't know. But a lot of people, it takes a process. I mean, weeks after I was saved, I was still gambling in the barracks. I was still playing poker. And I was winning, but I had to give it up. Because the Lord says, gambling's wrong. And by the way, it was wrong back then. It's still wrong now, too. I serve a God that doesn't change. Preacher, that's my retirement system. You know, I just gamble and gamble and gamble. Get a new one.
Yes.
Have you ever been redeemed, agareso? Have you been brought out of the marketplace, ex agareso? Do you know the feeling inside? Not that we base everything on feelings, but do you know what it is inside to be set free? To know that you serve a God out of love, not out of duty, because my parents make me, because a preacher expects it, because some saint at the church will say something if I don't. Do you know what it is to serve a God out of love? And if you do all of that, then we're here today, and if the rapture happened today, those that have been redeemed are going to go, whoop, and we're going to be gone.
Amen.
And I would hate to think that there's going to be some still seated here, because it'll be too late. Let's bow our heads here this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And don't get ahead of me. We don't need to be in a hurry this morning. But we do need to do business with God. Are you here this morning, honestly? Honestly. Have you been redeemed? Agareso. Do you know that you're saved? Could you take me to that place where you made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you repented of your sins, and you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Could you take me to that place?